Attention all groups. This is Admiral Akbar with your Armada advice. When firing, unless an effect or upgrade states that it is applied to your battery armament, then it will be applied in the modified dice step. This means that if you can't gather any dice on your ship's armament alone, such as a raider firing out its side at a medium-range obstructed target, you won't be able to fire at all, regardless of how many dice you will get from other effects, like concentrate fire or my own extraordinary abilities. Assume attack coordinates, and may the Force be with you.
At last we will deal with these rebel scum. You may fire when ready.
Welcome, Commanders, to the 13th episode of Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Jim. Sorry about the delay in getting this episode out. I caught a cold earlier in the week, so you might notice that my voice is slightly hoarser than normal, but I'm on the mend and I got regionals tomorrow. And there's been a lot of new stuff since that last episode, like the GR-75 announcement and the reveal of Wave 4, but I'm going to put that off for a show in favor of some more regional tournament talk. It's down to a matter of days, one exactly, before my own regional, and I talked a bit about some top lists on the previous episode, but I thought I should drill down into why those lists are so good. Before we get started, just remember that no list is invincible, and a lot of winning in Armada comes down to skill at playing your fleet. Taking one of these lists will probably improve your chances at winning, but without practice, you're going to get outflown and outplayed, and no amount of a good list will prevent you from getting blasted off the map. One of the lists I mentioned is often referred to as a DEMSU list, which stands for Demolisher and Multiple Small Units. It's also sometimes referred to as a Clonisher build, after the handle of the player who first popularized it, and who I might be playing this weekend. It shares a lot, obviously, with a MSU, or just plain Multiple Small Unit list, which the Rebels can take. The MSU is powerful, because it leverages a very potent advantage in the game, that of activation advantage. In simple terms, that means you have more ships than your opponent, and getting first player means you can activate both before and after your foe. With that advantage, you can activate a ship last in one round, and then immediately activate it again, before your opponent can do anything. The DEMSU list goes one further by leveraging the power of Demolisher to bring it in last from outside firing range to hit a ship once after making its maneuver and setting up a double arc, then twice more as the first activation on the next round before an opponent can activate the target ship to repair or move or anything else. There are very few ships that can survive a triple tap from Demolisher, so it will tear down your biggest ship without reprisal. Without Demolisher, a standard MSU can still leverage this, just without the huge flexibility of speed and maneuvering plus punch. Your small ships can fly in and out without facing huge amounts of firepower in return, allowing you to take risks that you wouldn't normally with such fragile vessels. It also uses a focusing of those small ships to burn down larger targets. There's not a lot of counters to these types of lists, other than another MSU list, or using one of your own smaller ships to try to block off the attack run in a sacrifice play. For this reason, Rebels running Riken have an advantage as the sacrifice ship won't go away until the end of the turn. Since the ships are so fast, bombers that aren't rogues have trouble keeping up to do damage without constant squadron commands, which are not engineering orders that will keep your ships alive. With proper positioning, a Rimer ball can do good work without orders if they're placed near heavy traffic areas. Again, though, the best advice is practice with your list to learn how best to fly it and what to look out for. The other list, the 3VSD list, is a points denial machine. It consists of 3 VSD-1s commanded by Mahdi, equipped with nothing but boosted comms and flight controllers. It then boasts a hefty Rimer ball of Rimer, 5 TIE Bombers, Dengar, Mauler Mythil, and 2 TIE Advanced. The VSDs only have to spam squadron orders as they slowly advance. Any attacking enemy has to deal with the Reimer ball punching holes in their ships, and if squadrons try to engage, they won't last long against the blue blacks that flight-controlled bombers throw, not even mentioning Mahler and the two advanced. Yes, the VIX can be outmaneuvered, but you still have to chew through solid shields and 10 hull each to down just one of them. Plus, with proper placement of the VIX and good flight pathing, your ability to get around them can be limited. Against a sturdy list like this, you should be very happy to come out with a 5-5. It'll be extremely hard to take out more than one of the VSDs without losing multiple of your own ships, without excellent maneuvering on your part and mistakes on theirs. And of course, practice, practice, practice with your list to understand how best you can focus your weight of firepower and how you can deal with the Reimer ball. Both of these are very different lists with very different strengths. It would be nigh impossible to create a list that will defeat both of them, so your best defense is knowing your own list inside and out. Use the Vassal program to play against yourself to test out deployments and maneuvers, as games can be won and lost by your initial deployment, or get your friends to throw down against you using those lists. And of course, just play more. That's always going to be the best way to get good with your list and the game in general. Just never, ever forget, above all, to have fun while doing it, and be a good sport. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. The other half is turbo lasers. Okay. Now on to talk about the hyperspace assault objective. Unlike other objectives that don't score extra VPs, hyperspace assault is a mission that I still think has a place in your list for tournaments. The ability to drop a ship into a vulnerable position can make your opponent think twice about following their battle plan, which is a victory even if you don't do a lot of damage. When should you put it in your list? Hyperspace Assault is a very flexible mission that you can take in a lot of different lists. The only time I say to not pick it is if you have nothing but large ships, since it gains you absolutely nothing. The key thing to think about is whether you'll lose too much by not having that ship on the board. The loss of one ship can be crucial in getting out activated, especially if you're facing fast ships that can leap across the board and have a chance at burning your other ships down before you can bring your reinforcements in. You also have to remember that if you're deploying from hyperspace, you're going to be second player, which means the enemy have a chance to respond before you can activate anything. There's three really good scenarios where I think hyperspace assault is a good pick, and I'll go into them more later. 1. Having a dedicated carrier with bombers that you want to get close with right away. Yavaris is a great example of this. Dropping it with 3 B-Wings or Luke next to your opponent's formation to put the hurt on rarely disappoints. Another prime example is a VSD-1 with however many bombers. You can zip into black range and start plowing through the enemy's ships with abandon. Number 2. When you have a ship that really benefits from being up close and personal. An Insidious Gladiator is a good pick for this to get use out of that title, also any ship that throws black dice. Be careful with MC-30s and Raiders, though. They can't get use out of evades at that range, so they might only last a round depending on your placement. Number 3. When you need to reliably disrupt an enemy's movement. Contrary to getting the most firepower out of a ship, you might want to just drop one in front of the enemy to make them either scatter or ram that ship instead of going where they wanted to. This is a good strategy for facing down a DEMSU list, as stopping the demolisher from making its triple attack run on the intended target will put a crimp in their plan. Obviously, being a rebel using Riken helps a lot with this. So how do you use it? Well, that depends on what your plan is. If you're using it to get a ship into attack range fast, or disrupt your enemy's attack formation, you're going to want to put the tokens in front of their ships, and in positions where they're either going to pass close by, for attack ships, or directly into the path they'll be taking, for disruption. Careful deployment and obstacle placement are key to try to funnel them into your hyperspace trap. Remember, too, that your opponent will get to activate first. This is why you don't come in from behind their ships, as you're always just going to be chasing them. It's better to come in closer to the side for an attack run. Doing this, make sure you should have range and arc, even if they run, though you can also just jump in on top of two ships as well, but that opens you up to more return fire. For disruption, you want to hop in where your ship's move will put you where you estimate their demolisher, or whatever their big threat is going to land after their activation. Since part of the demolisher triple tap is using it last, then first in consecutive rounds, they then have the choice of either going earlier, allowing their target ship to get an activation in between Demo's attacks, or move around and or attack your hyperspacing ship. Either way, you've put a crimp in their attack plan, and that's a big deal. Once again, remember that unless you're a rebel player using Riken, your hyperspace ship is probably not going to last very long from the beating it's likely to take. Try to keep it out of the biggest arcs of your enemy as best you can. For both of these plans, timing is essential. If you're bringing in an attack ship, you want to make sure that you can bring your full weight of firepower onto your target, especially if it's a large, well-protected one. Bring it in too early, and your ship will just get swarmed. Bring it in too late, and it won't be as effective either due to range or the rest of your fleet falling to fire that might have been split if reinforcements had arrived on time. This, plus token placement, takes practice, 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 and can be devastating once you have it down. For a disruption attack, you need to be prepared to go in later than you'd think, and have a good idea of how far distances are. Akbar's Armada advice in Episode 7 has distances mapped between the movement tool and the range tool, and those of you who have the two acrylic ones from the Store Championship have an even easier chance to guess those movement distances. Remember, you can't put down the plotting course tool until it's time to actually plot a course, so you need to be able to use the range ruler to estimate the movement of the enemy's fleet. If you're bringing in a bomber wing, you don't have to worry as much about placement. Most carriers like to have a little distance, so placing the token where it might be behind your opponent isn't a bad idea. I find, again, a bit off to the side is best, so spreading your tokens out to cover a fairly large area is a good idea, unless you're flying slow squadrons like B-wings. Then you'll need to get in pretty close to have that punch. Same applies as above for attack ships about timing, though. Too early, and you'll just get pulverized and your fighters become less effective without their carrier. Too late, and you won't be able to swing the battle. In general, I find rounds 3 and 4 to be the optimal times, depending on your situation. One time, I won a game by waiting until round 5 to drop in. As my opponent was turtling with a Reimer ball in the corner, I leapt in with Luke and 2 Y-wings and dropped several of his fighters while keeping the carrier at a long range. He didn't have enough anti-squadron firepower to kill any of my fighters, so I won with a narrow 6-4. So when should you choose it from your opponent? Since hyperspace assault doesn't give out any extra VPs, if the other two are much more advantageous to your opponent and give out VPs, this is a good pick for you. There's a lot of advantages to hyperspace assault for the first player beyond no VPs, though. The best counter to it isn't in any list, but in having the experience and familiarity with your playstyle to be able to react and outmaneuver the token placement. If you choose it, your primary decision is whether to flee from the tokens or just try to plow through. This should be partly informed by what's coming at you. Some tokens will be easy to dodge just by dint of their placement and where you're going to try to concentrate the battle. Since there's so many possible combinations of locations and assaulters, my general advice is that you shouldn't let the tokens rule you. Yes, give them a bit of space if it's a gladiator coming in, but otherwise, remember that as first player, you're going to get to react first when it comes in. Keep a solid arc towards the token, and don't let more than one vulnerable ship be sitting next to it. With just one, you can zip away before it activates. And keep in mind the threat range of their bombers if those are being used. Try to angle such that you won't be bumping them along in their front arc when they come in, and you'll mitigate the amount of damage they can do in subsequent turns as you outpace their carrier. Finally, remember that your opponent is one ship down for the time being. If you can confidently rush them and take out their ships on the table, you win. And even if you can't, the lack of one ship's firepower should let you get in and cripple their existing ones without too much return fire. Just remember that they're trying to disrupt your battle plan, so try to minimize that effect as much as possible while not leaving yourself open to the sudden appearance of another ship on the field. Whether that's leaving their tokens in your wake or covering them with a ton of firepower is up to you. Well, that's it for this week. As I said in my posts, Fire When Ready is going to be taking a break for about a month or so while I tend to some real-world matters. I'll try to get a mini-episode out about regionals and my thoughts on the GR75 and Wave 4, but no promises. Until then, you worry about those fighters, and I'll worry about the tower. Ready to make the jump to Lightspeed at your command, Admiral.
It's a wrap!
Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast, can be found at www.firewhenreadypodcast.com. Talk to me online on Twitter as @ArmadaJim or by email at jim@firewhenreadypodcast.com. All celebrity voices impersonated, all rights to the spoken content of this podcast are reserved.